Hit it, Phil.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no! It isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. We have our friends John Henderson. Hey, John.
Hello.
And Kathy Fuller-Seeley. Hey, Kathy. And we are going to be presenting the third existing episode of the Jack Benny Show. At least all the episodes exist somewhere. We can't get to some of them. These are the, I guess I should say, the third in circulation or widely available in circulation. So this third episode is from his third season. Is it the season opener for the third season? I think maybe.
Let's see. No. Oh. No. It would be the 1-2 third show of the third season.
Okay.
So third show of fall 52.
Yep. And some people will say it's the first episode of the third season, meaning it's the first available episode of the. So it's tricky. Being a Benny fan is so confusing. It's so hard to figure out what's what. So anyway, this podcast that we're doing this for, initially, it's going to be. I'll have it other places, but we're going through chronologically all the available Jack Benny shows. And if you catch this on Spotify, you'll be able to watch the actual video. Otherwise, you can catch it on YouTube. I'll throw it on there too, so you'll have it available on there. If you want to watch the video of the actual episode, plus if you want to watch us talk, we're so much more interesting to see our faces. But this will also be out there in audio form that I'm sure some of you are listening to it that way, which is okay too. This particular episode in audio form, the last bit is hardly going to work at all. I mean, it's a lot of visual gags. And visual gags, of course, don't carry over to audio very well. But some of the episodes, when we have Jack Benny episodes, do very well because it's a lot of talking. It's a lot of just verbal gags. And then that works great. For the episodes that have a lot of visual components to them, they don't work so hot. So I'm just telling you that we're on one of those at this point. So, I think, John, would you tend to agree with that?
Yeah, I would say of all the Jack Benny episodes, this is one that you wouldn't get as much out of it if you listened to it. I mean, some of the stuff in the beginning you could still get, sure. And you can still enjoy the songs.
Yeah, because it's what's so funny is sometimes they'll present a visual thing, but they'll say what the visual thing is in the actual episode. I mean, Rochester will go, oh my gosh, it's a lion or whatever. And then you'll kind of know what's going on. In this particular one, I don't think they ever really tell you what happens. It just sort of happens and you see it on screen. And so of course there's going to be it'll just be silent. You'll just hear an audience laughing more and you'll be wondering what are they laughing about?
So yes. You know, it's funny. We talked about an episode where Jack Benny goes to the concert and his collar boings out.
Yes.
And I thought, well, that's something you could only do on television. And then I listened to the radio show that has the same gag and they do the same thing and they just don't explain it. They're just like, you just hear the sound effect. Boing. Oh,
boing.
Yeah. So that was surprising.
And you kind of figure it out. Yeah,
yeah,
that's true. So we'll see. I mean, maybe people will get some of it because I almost have to listen to it to figure out if any of it does carry over because some of it might have sound effects that go along with it where you'll kind of figure out, oh, that's probably what's happening. Who knows? Anyway, let's get into the episode and let's go with Kathy first. Kathy, what struck you from this episode that you liked?
Well, one of my favorite parts was actually at the very beginning with this, the filmed commercial, or maybe it was live, but it's two workers.
Yeah.
Are going to do the Lucky's taste test. And I love how one of the workers says to the other, pick a cigarette from the middle of the pack, not one that's been all beat up. Lucky's not very good advertising for a really crummy edged cigarette there.
And make sure it's a new pack, because after a little bit, they're going to deteriorate.
Yeah. So. Lucky Strike, the cigarette that has at least two good ones in the middle that you can smoke. The rest of them I'd probably throw out. And buy another pack. There you go.
This one, I'm not sure how well the first part ages. I'm sure that people in 1952 would have been a lot more amused at this little blonde girl sure that her name is Margaret Truman and that her father's a pianist and that they live in Washington, D.C. It still has humor and the little girl is quite cute. But like I said, that's a pretty topical joke for Jack. So,
well, also now that I think about it, and, you know, my memory's not what it once was, but for either of you, if the last Jack Benny convention we had last year, I think the little girl, that the actress that plays the little girl, was on and interviewed and talked about what it was like to do that. I'm not sure if I read that over on the Facebook page or whether I saw it, the actual interview. I think I saw the interview, so I think, if I remember right. But does that strike a bell with either of you that she appeared on Jack's convention?
I don't know. Kathy, can you look up the name of the actress? Do you have that information?
Yes, her name is...
I thought the
oh my goodness! Of course, it's Beverly Washburn, who is so active in OTR recreations for Spurdvac. So, oh, it's Beverly. She has red hair now, and she's quite adorable. So, yes. I'm sorry, I'd forgotten. So,
yeah.
Yes.
So, if I find some clips of that I think are, I'll maybe include those if I find something that pertains to the episode or whatever. So we may get a little bit of that interview if I can find the interview and all that stuff. So anyway, but over to John. John, what struck you as good part of the episode?
Yeah, well, I'll give my opinion at the end because I think I've got a little different take of it than you. But I'm wondering, I didn't get a chance to research this, and I wonder if you know any of these references. First, he says Tito Gazzar. Do you know who that is? If not, can we get somebody who's listening to put it in the comments so we can find that information?
Look at that. We're giving our people homework.
Yeah. And then he says, I'm too old to cry. And it's like a quote from Abe Lincoln. Is that something that people know? Yeah. Again, look it up. Now, I do know March 15th was tax time. So that's why they mentioned that. Yeah.
Which is always strange for people today, because for a long time it's been April 15th. They moved it and have kept it moved. But for years and years and years, it was March 15th. So that's why you get tax jokes a month earlier than you would expect them to come. But
yeah. And of course, President Truman played the piano all the time. And on the radio, there were broadcasts where he was playing a piano. But what's the thing with Margaret Truman and Jimmy Durante? These are mysteries that I need the answer to.
Well, Margaret Truman, the real Margaret Truman, appeared on a decent amount of radio shows, television shows, and things like that. So she could have easily been on Durante's show. In fact, I think she was, or at least an episode that I've heard, but I've heard her on a few different things. And I think she was on an episode, I want to say, of The Big Show at some point. Because, I mean, everybody was on The Big Show except for Jack. So they were competing with Jack. But anyway. So I think that's where it's known from. And that's why the audience knows Margaret Truman and they can play around with that. Because it's both Margaret Truman that's famous, plus, of course, her dad that's the president that's famous. And so they can toy around with that. It's a cute little bit that they took probably a little too far. It's like, okay, it's like, let's stretch this one joke out further and further and further.
I gotta admit that Bob Crosby singing to her is a little creepy.
There was some awkward times to be had, but that often is the case on the Jack Benny show, so it's okay. But I will say, Jack. I like to see Jack interacting with her in that it's Jack flipping the switch of, I've got to go really over the top with my reactions to make this funnier. And so you'd see Jack really pushing the envelope, almost in some ways like he does when they do with Mel Blanc doing the Sai Su routine, because if he doesn't have the right reactions, that's the whole bit, is his reactions to Mel's, because Mel's is just one word answers, and so that's not going to hold. But what really makes that bit work is Jack's reaction, and that's the same thing here. It's Jack's reaction to, no, you can't be, you know, and just kind of dreams of what a coincidence in the whole. Yeah, that to me works, and it's fun to see Jack that way. So I like that part. The whole end piece with the burglars and everything, the fact that Mel Blanc is one of the burglars really helps it, because I love to see Mel Blanc and things. To me, some of the visual gags I'm watching and going, oh, okay, I think that just squirted him in the face, but it's like, I don't even know if the visual gags were working 100%, or like there's one point where they're putting clothes on something and he's like, oh, these shirts are really gorgeous shirts or whatever. I'm like, okay, he's making a big, big deal about these shirts. And I'm like, they look like just normal shirts to me. And I don't think a burglar is going to be all excited shirts necessarily.
Well, Daryl, I think it shows, again, when you were talking before, that this fascinating period of trying out things on television, of trying to, you're being, Jack and his production staff are being pushed to make television more visual. Mm-hmm. Quit with the radio jokes. But, and now they're having to put even like 8 shows a year or whatever they're doing now, right, are a lot to have to come up with. And so their ambitions are big to have these elaborate visual jokes, but they don't have enough time or practice or probably money to be able to make them elaborate enough to pull them off.
Correct. So, and I would say to me, just having you say that was enough to trigger with me like, oh yeah. That whole piece, if you were to just take it and put Red Skelton in bed while this was happening, right, and have it be on his show, that wouldn't surprise me at all. It would totally fit a Red Skelton show far more than it fits the Jack Benny show. So it's like they took and they said, let's make it more like Red Skelton's show and do this visual piece, or more like Sid Caesar would do. And it's not a Jack Benny bit so much. Well, certainly Jack doesn't, I don't even think there's reaction shots very much of Jack. He's just sleeping the whole time, more or less. I mean, at the end, I think there's some little thing that Jack does, if I remember right. But anyway.
I have to say.
That's for me. Maybe that's for John. So John,
I usually am not a fan of the visual gags on Jack Benny. And I do find sometimes they're a bit cheesy.
Yes.
But with this episode, maybe I was just in the right mood, but I loved it. Loved the whole scene. I loved Mel Blanc, of course.
Yeah, just Mel was great.
Hilarious. So. And I wasn't, you know, I he just put his stuff in the safe, so we know the safe is there. So the robbers come in, they're going to take the ashtray, and then the ashtray's nailed down.
Yeah,
and then they take out the shirts. I'm like, well, I guess they're going to get the shirts because he got past the seltzer bottle. And then the shirts disappear.
Yeah.
And then, okay, the picture sort of came open, which was a live television thing. It wasn't supposed to happen. So he saw the safe before he was supposed to see the safe. But when the tiger is there, that surprised me. I thought it was hilarious. But the best part, and I sorry to spoil this episode, but most people are listening anyways, and then they'll know what's happening.
Yeah.
The robbers go to the window to escape, and he has a coin machine, so you can't get out unless you pay a coin.
Yes.
So he's planning for robbers to come, and he wants to make a little money off of them.
I thought
it was so funny.
That
and
part
I thought,
was the best part, yeah.
I thought the whole episode was so fun, especially since this is not a particular episode. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, I want to go see the Frank Sinatra episode so I can watch Frank Sinatra. This is just a generic episode, which as a Jack Benny fan, I think is fun just to see like a typical, especially early Jack Benny episode. I thought the monologue was quite funny. I loved the Harry Truman, Margaret Truman bit. I thought his delivery and his reactions, like it was just perfect. I thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
The Bob Crosby stuff, you know, usually I can just skip over the songs, but because I'm also a Peter Pan fan, I thought it was interesting to see. This is contemporary to Peter Pan, which is sort of like Disney with their color. It's like a whole different world. I usually don't connect them in time. To see like, oh, in 1953, this is what it was like to have Peter Pan out. I would have been blown away. In fact, a couple weeks ago, My son was like, "Oh, I want to watch The Little Mermaid," because he just saw the new Little Mermaid trailer. And I was like, "Well, why don't we watch all the Disney movies? We'll select one at random." And the first one that came up was Peter Pan, and he loved it. He was jumping around pretending to be Peter Pan, and then he's pretending to be Captain Hook. And so this was the perfect time for me to watch that. He sings a Peter Pan song, which,
yeah.
Is that an original song? I've never heard that song before.
I know, I never heard that song.
Never Smile at a Crocodile.
There's no lyrics in the movie. It's just do 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 do. So he sings the lyrics, which is fun. But yeah. I've seen that on the Muppet Show. And then and there's one more song in the medley there, which I thought was lots of fun. So I really enjoyed this episode.
Well, good.
Well, I'm glad. All right, you've given me a new appreciation for the episode.
Yep. Maybe I'll watch it again, see if I could enjoy it a little bit more. It's just, sometimes it's hard. We're watching these episodes, and you can watch them for enjoyment, or you can watch them to chat about, you know, analyze them like we do. Totally. And sometimes if you're analyzing them too much, you're losing some of the joy of watching the episode. It sounds like you were just into the joy of watching the episode.
And I'll tell you another thing. I haven't watched a Jack Benny show all summer. So this is the first one coming back. I also think sometimes when you watch too many in a row, you forget what's so funny about it.
Yes. Yes. I would agree with that and totally get that. So that makes sense. I was thinking with the burglar bit, we love to see that Mel's in here. The other burglar was just some non...
He must have been a flip guy, because at one point he does a flip.
Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, we don't know, this guy from anything, right? I was thinking as I was watching that, I was going, oh, it would be so much more fun if they would have had Frank Nelson and Mel Blanc playing off of each other and things. They're so good, and they don't often get to do things together, and I wish they would have done that more, both on the radio show and on the television show. But I do know part of the time there was some definite friction going on between Jack and his producers, director, whoever was in charge of the show. He wanted to have folks like Frank Nelson on repeatedly and things. And he was getting some pushback the money piece, but also just that they were going, well, no, these guys are getting, long in the tooth or whatever. Let's go with some other folks that are fresh for the audience and things. Go ahead.
Daryl, you're bringing up a fascinating point that doesn't get talked about much. It's truly Jack lost a lot of control over his show in moving to television, because it costs umpteen times more and it's so more complicated with real sets and having to rehearse, actors and things like that. So the show becomes more corporate and more owned by CBS. Just because it's so much more complicated. So.
Right. Well, and I think there's so many layers, like everything else. You're like, okay, what is really causing this? Like, if you're not going to use Frank Nelson, it could be because the money that you have to pay Frank Nelson, because he's Frank Nelson. Or it could be that you're going, we use Frank every week. They're going to know that this is, it's too obvious. Let's go with, we can be more subtle if we use this other person. They won't know that he's going to make a joke or be the kind of character he's going to be before he starts speaking and everything. So I can see kind of that argument. But to me, you go, Frank and Mel are kind of semi-regulars. We should pay them more and we should use them a lot. They're funny and they add to the show and people want to see them. It's okay if they get known, and it's okay if as soon as you walk into a place and you see Frank Nelson is over in the corner somewhere, oh, we're going to go back to him and he's going to have a big part of this. Well, so what if the audience can figure that out versus some unknown actor you put in?
Yeah. I wonder if sometimes it's about like confusing as to whether it's the same character, because with Frank Nelson, sometimes they're like, oh, that guy, wherever I go, there he is. Right.
Right.
So if it's like, well, Mel Blanc was a TV producer last week. Did the TV producer become a robber? I don't get it. Maybe they were worried about something like that.
I think that's a piece of it. To me, you just dive into it head on and go, that's what we did in the radio show. We'll do it in the TV show. But they're probably going, well, but the radio and TV are different. You get to see him. They know what he looks like and all that. It's like, tough luck. I mean, put a fake mustache on him sometimes. Anyway, because I don't know. I just love to see those guys. And it's just whenever there's a something where I think one of them could be in that place, or certainly when you see an episode where they played the character on the radio show and they've got somebody else doing the character on Jack's show, you just kind of go, ah, missed opportunity. And then the same thing goes with Mary. Whenever Mary's not in a role that she originated on the radio show, you're kind of like, oh, okay, well, I'll accept this other actress doing this, but she's not Mary. So anyway, with that and this fun episode that John got into so much and everything, and I think the audience deserves to get a try, we'll present that. So I hope you guys are going to enjoy it. Did either of you have anything else you want to talk about this episode? Are we good? Oh, I have something to talk about. I'd forgotten my big piece that I loved about this episode. The very, 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 very end of the episode, because I had not watched all of it until the very end or something, whatever. So this time through, I saw the ending. And the ending said, next week, they were going to present the New Year's fantasy skit. As any of my longtime listeners or watchers know, I love the New Year's fantasy skits. I've put them all together at different times, which you should never do, but it's a marathon of a lot of the same jokes over and over again, but I listen to it every year at New Year's. He did these from 1937, I think, up until the television. And I thought he did it once in the television show, just in 1956. But maybe you
okay. Well, Laura's guide says they didn't do it the next week. The next week ended up it was a month later, and they ended up with the Jimmy Stewart and his wife in the cafe dancing skit. So all Jack does is toast. So they changed their mind.
So maybe it only does exist once. Now I'm frustrated again. So Jack, how dare you get me excited about this? So yeah, as far as I knew, they did it once in the television era. And we have that one, and we presented it before, and it's really popular, and people love it. It's one of my most watched of our episodes. We also threw in a live performance at Camp Hahn that we have like 10 minutes of as part of that, because it was sort of a throwback. It was Jack on video, but doing radio performances, essentially, was what we kind of presented it as. But I was hoping that there was a live one that we didn't have in circulation that we could go to and get the script, but apparently not. So, oh well.
They lied to you.
I know, right? So, oh well. But we will see. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's one of the later ones that he skipped, and so maybe it does come up as a live performance. We don't know. Well, we'll kind of look through. It tells me to search for it, because Jack usually doesn't mention something and then not do it for 2 years, but you never know. So I wonder what the audience was thinking. Wasn't this supposed to be a New Year's thing? But it would also actually make sense, because it was a month later. Yeah, I guess a month later would make sense to do it as a...
It was broadcast on December 28th. And so he said, so he ends up, the cafe skit is set on New Year's Eve. Yeah. And so apparently he makes the toast to Jimmy, but not what we would consider the...
Kathy or John, do you guys know if we have that episode in circulation? I don't think so.
Oh, well...
Makes me want to read the script.
It exists.
Sometimes Jack does two things within a script. It wouldn't surprise me if he did both those things, but we'll see. Kathy, isn't this great? We're researching it as we're filming.
Yes, we're talking. Professional. Nothing about in the description. So Laura has seen it, and there is nothing about actually doing the New Year skit. So.
Oh, well, they change gears. It's one of those things. So... who knows? Maybe you won't even hear this section, because maybe I'll just cut this whole thing off since it went nowhere.
Whoops, I tripped down a rabbit hole. Ruined his big reveal. So.
Anyway, enjoy the show. We'll see you folks next time.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
What do you think of that?
Oh, she sure is pretty.
Yeah. I wonder why they left out that cigarette tearing business.
Oh, I guess they figured most everybody knows how to do it.
Can you?
Sure, it's easy. Go ahead, try it. You got to start in with a Lucky from a new pack. One that isn't all beat up. Okay, now find the seam. That's it. You got to start at the seam. Now, tear it down the seam from one end to the other.
How am I doing?
Fine. Take your time, though. Don't dig into it or rough it up. Okay, now, lift out the tobacco. Real careful. There, you see? Anybody can do it.
Yeah, sure. But what's it prove?
Here's what it proves. See how the Lucky holds together without crumbling. A perfect cylinder of fine tobacco, without loose ends that get in your mouth and spoil the taste. That's why Lucky's taste cleaner. And you'll notice there aren't any empty air spaces, hot spots that burn too fast and give you a harsh, hot taste. No, because a Lucky is fully packed. See those long strands of fresh, mild, good-tasting tobacco. That's why Lucky's taste fresher. And lastly, that fine tobacco aroma tells you Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Fine, naturally mild tobacco that's firmly packed, but so perfectly shredded it always draws freely and smokes evenly. That's why Lucky's taste smoother. Yes, Lucky's are made better. And because they are made better, they taste better. So friends, for a cleaner, fresher, smoother smoke, be happy. Go Lucky. Make your next carton Lucky Strike.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Lucky Strike program. I'm Jack Benny. Well, the reason I mention that is because CBS has just added a new station in Mexico, you see, and I look so much like Tito Gazzar. But you know, this is our third show, television show, and our last show, the one we did about 4 weeks ago, we did a play called Buck Benny Rides Again. And we had the most terrific response after that show. We got so many wonderful letters. Really, I can't tell you how many letters we got. And they were from such intelligent people, too, you know. As a matter of fact, I got one letter from a college professor. Did you know that execrable means lousy? But anyway, here we are doing another show. Gosh, the way time flies, I can't get over it. You know, it just seems like, I don't know, it goes by so fast. You see, here we are already. Tomorrow, December 1st. Then next week, December 8th, December 16th. And there's, then there's 106 days only till March 15th. That's the government's Christmas. I think I'll have to pay a lot this year, too, but then what can I do? I mean, you know, I'm too old to cry, and it hurts too much to laugh. I was quoting Lincoln there. Ladies and gentlemen, now we want to get on with the show, and first of all, I'd like to introduce... Oh, before I introduce Bob Crosby, I must tell you that the last time Bob Crosby was on my show, I have never heard anybody complain as much as he did. You know, I had him singing a song right out here on the floor. You see, then he complained because I didn't give him scenery. He's always complaining. Doesn't like the orchestra's salary. I never heard anybody complain as much as Crosby does. Really, I think his whole attitude is execrable. So this time, I promised him that I'd give him some scenery. Oh, fellas, would you please let me have that curtain that I brought over this morning, that scene in the park? A scene and the part, you see, so I got this in a theater down the street. And listen, fellas, will you please bring me that bench that I brought from the park last night? That bench. That's it. Yes, sir. I got this bench at Griffith Park. It's a bench, you know. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to... Oh, kids. Well, kids, you can go now. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, Mr. Fletcher, this is Miss Thomas. Mr. Thomas, how are you? Nice if they meet, you see. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce the what is it, little girl?
Mr. Benny, can I have your autograph, please?
My autograph? Oh, well, that's sweet. I mean, but honey, look at, if you'll just wait until after the show. You know, I'm right in the middle of the show now. I'll be very, very happy to give it to you.
Okay.
That's cute. Oh, wait a minute, honey, come back here. Come back. I mean, as long as you came up like this, I mean, it's cute. I'll give you... Is this your little book here and everything? All right, come right over here. I'll give you the autograph. I'll be very happy to. That's cute, isn't it, coming up like that in the middle of the show? What's your first name, honey?
Margaret.
Margaret, huh? That's a pretty name, isn't it? I'll tell you what, I'll put to Margaret from Jack Benny. Huh? How do you spell that, honey?
B-E-N-N-Y.
No, honey, look, I know how to spell my name, you understand what I mean? But, you know, there are different ways of spelling Margaret, you see, two different ways. How do you spell yours?
M-A-R-G-A-R-E-T.
Oh, M-A-R-G-A-R-E-T, all right. To Margaret from Jack. Margaret, what's your last name?
Truman.
Wait a minute, honey. Your name is Margaret Truman?
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, that certainly is a coincidence, isn't it? Your real name, that you're Margaret Truman?
Uh-huh.
Well, isn't that... I mean, you're not kidding me or anything.
Oh, no, Mr. Benny.
You're not. That's your right name, Margaret Truman. Well, isn't that cute? Okay, well, here you are, honey.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, what's your last name, honey?
Truman,
Margaret Truman. And do you live here in Los Angeles, do you?
No, sir, I'm only visiting here. I live in Washington.
In Seattle or Spokane? Or?
Washington, D.C.
Wait a minute, honey. You live in Washington, D.C., and your name is Margaret Truman? Well, that's the strangest thing I've ever heard. You're sure you're not kidding me now? You didn't just come up to...
Oh, no, Mr. Bennett.
You're not. That's your... Margaret Truman, and you live in Washington, D.C. Well, that's the oddest thing. Have you lived in Washington long?
No, sir.
Where were you born?
Independence, Missouri.
Now, wait a minute. You didn't want an autograph at all. You just came out to make fun of me. That's it.
Oh, no, I didn't, Mr. Benny. Really, I didn't.
Now, wait a minute. You see, your name is Margaret Truman. You live in Washington, D.C. You were born in Independence. I mean, those are too many coincidences. Does your father work in Washington now?
Yes, sir, till January 20th.
I'm sorry I gave you the... Your father's working now till January 20th. And that's no coincidence, huh? Now, wait a minute, honey. Somebody told you to say that. That's just a trick.
Oh, no, Mr. Benny. Huh? Nobody put me up to it. Huh? My name is Margaret Truman. I was born in Independence, Missouri. And the only reason we live in Washington, D.C., because my father works there.
Oh. Your father works there in Washington. What does he do?
He's a piano player.
is a piano player in Washington. Well, may I ask you one more question? May I? What is your father's first name?
I won't tell you.
You won't tell me your father's first name? Why not?
You'll think it's a coincidence.
Well, I'm not going to get involved in this anymore. Hello, Bob.
Jack, I was waiting outside for my introduction. What happened?
Well, I got sidetracked here. Oh. Well, listen, I got your scenery for you if you want it. Do you like it?
This is scenery?
Yes.
So. Well, Jack, when I asked for a park, I wanted a real park with people and statues and trees. Guys, this looks like King Farouk's bedspread.
This is the best I could get. So go ahead. Oh, by the way, Bob, I want you to meet this is Margaret Truman.
Hello, honey. I'm Jack Benny.
No, I'm not kidding. That's her name, isn't it, honey? That's her name, Margaret
Truman?
Yeah.
Well, I'm awfully glad to meet you, Margaret Truman. I didn't recognize you without Jimmy Durante.
No, this is a different. This is a different Margaret. Well, come on, honey. You got your autograph. You want to come off? Come off stage.
Say, Jack, I've got an idea. Because I don't have the right scenery, maybe I should switch my song.
Yeah?
And I saw Walt Disney's Peter Pan, and I think I could sing about it if you'd let me work with her.
You mean you want to have the little girl out here, Ellis? Would you like to stay here with Bob Crosby?
Oh, yeah.
You would. Okay. All right, Bob. I bet she sings, too.
Have you ever heard of Peter Pan?
Yes, I heard that story a long time ago. Isn't he the little boy who wouldn't grow up?
That's right. And Peter Pan lived in a world all of his own. He called it Neverland.
Was he a brave little man?
Oh, was he brave? You just listen. Peter Pan. Peter Pan. He's up, he's down, he's flying all around a busy little man. When there's danger and the battle is thick, he's there in the nick of time. Are there pirates to fight? Are there Indians in sight? Peter Pan'll have a plan to spike the crime.
Did he ever take little boys and girls to visit him?
Oh, certainly would to Neverland, but in order to get there, they would have to fly.
They couldn't fly.
Oh, yes, they could. Let me tell you all about it. You see, Peter Pan had a little pixie by the name of Tinkerbell. And she would come and she would sprinkle some pixie dust over the boys and girls, and that would give them gossamer wings.
And then they could fly?
Well, only if they thought of pleasant things. Think of the presents you brought. Any happy little thought. Think of Christmas, think of snow, think of sleigh bells. Here we go like reindeer in the sky. You can fly, you can fly, you can fly. Oh, you know who that is.
Crocodile?
That's right, the crocodile.
Well, what makes him tick like that?
Well, once upon a time, he ate an alarm clock, and that's what makes him tick.
Isn't that the crocodile that took a big bite out of Captain Hook?
Yes, and he liked the taste of Captain Hook so much that ever after, he went around looking for people to bite. So I've got to warn you, never, never, never smile at a crocodile. No, you can't get friendly with the crocodile. Don't be taken in by his welcome grin. He's imagining how nice you'd fit within his skin.
Now sing me more about Peter Pan.
Peter Pan. Peter Pan. He's in, he's out, he's zooming all about as only Peter can. He's the best little boy, the worst little boy, since first little boys began. Let him have his schemes. Let him hold his dreams. Peter Pan, stay a little boy, my little man. My Peter Pan.
radio and... Oh, Sam! No, Sam, no, I won't be able to go with you tonight. You see, the boss did his first TV, he did his TV show today, and when he comes home after one of those, he's a wreck. Huh? You say some of the boys were down at the club watching his TV show, got tired of waiting and cut it off. Well, what were they waiting for? Oh! Well, tell the boys I'll be on the next one. I gotta go now. Bye.
Rochester.
Hello, boss. Just getting your room ready for the TV.
Good, good. You know, I'm not even going to have anything to eat. I'm going right to bed. I was never so tired in my life. L-S-M-F-T. Oh, boy, what an actor goes through. They think it's easy. Do one show a month. Rochester, did you watch the show?
Oh, yes, boss.
How'd you like it?
I thought it was excellent.
What?
Excellent.
Oh. Say, Rochester, how about that little girl? You know, the one that came on and asked me for an autograph, said her name was Margaret Truman. Wasn't that a coincidence?
Oh, I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? She told me her father was a piano player. She lived in Independence, Missouri, and her father was going to work until the 20th of January.
Well, that could happen.
What do you mean that could happen? That's silly. Well, that really is a coincidence.
No, I don't know, boss. Now, take me, for instance.
Yeah?
My name is Rochester, and I was born in Rochester, New York.
I know.
I got a brother named Toledo. He was born in Ohio.
Oh, good old Toledo. Yes, I know.
And then I got a cousin. His name is Missoula. He was born in Montana.
Missoula?
Mm-hmm. And I got another cousin named Duluth. He was born in Minnesota.
No kidding. Duluth born in Minnesota. Well, what do you know? I'm just going in and brush my teeth. I'll be right back. I want to get right to bed.
All right. Hello? Minneapolis?
Is that long distance?
No, another cousin.
Well, you'll talk to him later.
Oh, this is she.
Well, you'll talk to her later then.
Okay. I'll call you later, Minnie. Goodbye.
Rochester, look at the next time. Next time I ask you to buy me some pajamas, for heaven's sake, will you do me a favor?
Well, boss, I think they're beautiful. A little
beautiful.
Conservative, but beautiful.
Oh, fine. I'm going right to bed. Boy, I'll be asleep before I hit that pillow.
Okay, I'll turn off the light.
Okay.
Good night, boss.
Good night, Rochester. Oh, boy, am I tired. Oh, boy, it feels good to be dead. I wonder what Minneapolis's last name is. Well, I'm not going to worry about it now. Let me get to bed. Faucet dripping again. Told Rochester a million times to fix that faucet. Rochester.
Yes, boss.
Rochester, I asked you 1,000 times to fix that dripping faucet. Now listen. Oh, it stopped. You can go back to bed then.
Yes, sir. Good night, boy.
Good night, Rochester. Rochester!
Yes, boss!
Stopped again. Hey, wait a minute. I got an idea.
Come here.
Okay. Good night, boss!
Good night, Rochester! I knew it! I knew it! I knew it! Now go sit, fix that car.
Yes, I'm turning off the battery. Well, boss, you better try to get some sleep.
How can I sleep now? I was sleepy a few minutes ago. Now I'm wide awake. The only way I'll fall asleep, Rochester, we'll have to do what we always do.
Oh, boss, that's too much trouble.
I don't care whether it's trouble or not. That's the only way I'll get to sleep.
No, all right.
Say. I forgot to take a Dramamine.
I'd like to see the size of the mother and father.
You know, this looks like a pretty fancy house. We ought to do pretty good here. Yeah. Hey, Lefty, look, a silver ashtray. Open a bag.
There you are.
How do you like that? It's nailed down. Hey, Lefty, come here. Solid gold.
Now you're talking.
Hey, this thing must have played for Notre Dame.
Let's see what's in this drawer.
I don't know.
Stand aside.
Hey, look. Look at these beautiful shirts.
How about that?
Boy, these are all right. Hey, man, these are real good. Hey, you know this job is really going to be okay? Where do them shirts go?
You want to try the other doors?
No.
Boy, this is a tough place.
Banks is easier.
Banks?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's Grandma's territory.
Let's see what's in here.
On a lot of jobs, but none as execrable as this one.
I know there's a safe in here someplace. Let's find it.
A safe?
Yeah.
Well, let's look. Here we are, a safe. Hey! Let's get out of here!
What's the matter? The window's stuck.
The window's stuck? Yeah. Let me try it. Hey, look in here. A coin slot.
A coin slot.
To open window, deposit 25 cents.
Jack will be back in just a moment, but first...
Friends, it's true, you know. Luckies are made better to taste better, cleaner, fresher, smoother. And you remember that the next time you buy cigarettes. It's awfully important because, golly, in a cigarette, it's the taste that makes the difference. And Luckies do taste cleaner, fresher, smoother. So come on, be happy. Go, Lucky. Make your next carton Lucky Strike.
Be happy. Go, Lucky. Get better taste today.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know whether you liked the show or not. I know I took it lying down. This kind of a show I like, where you don't have much to do. You know, you just... Incidentally, were the burglars funny? Oh, the reason I don't know is because I fell sound asleep. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I do hope you liked the show. And we'll be back again 4 weeks from today. Is my time up now? Huh? Because I'd like to tell them... Can I talk just a second more? Oh, well, I just wanted to tell you that on the next show, we're going to try and do one of our New Year's fantasies. Remember the ones we used to do always on radio? And it's a sort of a semi, you know, comedy and dramatic thing, which I hope you'll enjoy. And anyway, we will see you then 4 weeks from today. Thank you very much.
This is the CBS Television Network.